Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Tabitha.
And I'm Julia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another week. We're going to be talking about 106 through 110 this week. We are near the end of this movie, Chris.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It is. How was your weekend, Chris? What'd you do? Anything fun? Did you see any good movies?
No, I watched a bunch of older movies.
Okay.
I watched like Notorious, which, you know, has to do with this film. So
that's this movie.
Yeah, exactly. I watched this movie. And what else did I watch? A lot of old 80s movies.
Well, we have two returning guests, friends of the pod. I'm going to give them, they actually get introductions because everybody gets an introduction. So they get to pick more songs, but they get a secondary introduction. So they're not with their other halves tonight because they are their own people and could be on a podcast without them. So here we go. She was here when we started this season, and she's here with us to wrap it up. Her laugh brightens up any podcast she's on. She taught us about jet injection guns, but we forgot, so she's back on to remind us. Make some noise for Tabitha Carlisle.
Oh yeah, I'm coming for you, Ambrose, but first I'm taking down your Ambrose.
Nice. That's really good. Our next guest is a podcast machine. She's about to wrap up the recordings for the fourth Mad Max movie she's done by the minute. We're exhausted just thinking about that schedule. Welcome back to the show, Julia Ingham.
Thank you so much for having me back, and I am truly exhausted doing Mad Max Minute.
I know your schedule, and I'm like, ugh. And you guys are so far ahead. You're so far ahead.
We are so close to being done recording. I think we have 7 episodes left.
Wow.
I know, and that's when you start feeling like, it. Just get it done, get it done, get it done.
Yes.
I mean, this is not our only recording this week, because we're now, we can see the end, and we're just like, can we just schedule everybody as fast as possible so we could finish this, so I could stop thinking about this daily for a month or two?
I think we're recording 3 times this week.
Oof.
That's a lot.
And we did 4 times last week, I think.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It's blurring. It's all blurring together.
Well, welcome back to the show, both of you. Both Mission Impossible, Julia's less of a fan, more of a watcher of the movie. And that's okay. She appreciates things in it, of course.
But, I do.
But, you know, and you got some good minutes. You got some good action minutes. Before you had... sex minutes. So I'm kind of happy that awkward sex minutes. I'm happy we now have awkward action minutes. And Tabitha loves this entire movie because it's insane. And she's a newer fan to this movie genre, but she like goes 100% into it. So that's what I love.
When you asked me if, you know, I would do these minutes, I was so excited because in the beginning, if I could have chosen any minutes of the movie, this is what I would have wanted to do because it's just so over the top ridiculous. So I was so excited that I got a second chance to come back and talk some more.
Yeah, you had some pretty bland minutes at the beginning. It was just set up, basic setup of the movie, not a ton of action.
It was fun to kick things off, but it's fun to talk about this week. So I'm very excited.
Okay, well, welcome back. It is minute 106. And minute 106 begins with the Ambrose yelling about not getting a good shot and ends with the Ambrose complaining they can't see. The Ambrose are a handful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is we're continuing the chase that we've been in for just about a week. We started last week really proper with the motorcycle chase. We had the week before we had a little bit, tiny bit, but most of it has been in the past 2 weeks. This motorcycle chase is on the streets outside of Sydney in a different part of Sydney. And right now, Ethan's being chased by the Ambrose, still in there. One of them's still driving a Toyota Corolla, and the other one's in some sort of all-terrain vehicle. And they are following Ethan, and Ethan is letting Luther know that his earpiece is going out. Chris, we had talked about this.
Yes, we did.
Because we were like, last week, we're like, oh, man, this earpiece, there's no way this earpiece is going to make it. Mm-mm. Or you'd be able to hear anybody.
No, let alone talk to anybody, really.
Yeah, you know. The wind blowing by you. So I like that they got rid of it.
Yeah.
He's just screaming orders. He doesn't even know if they got the orders.
No, he's
just
saying,
bring Naya to me.
He's letting him know they got him on GPS to bring, you know, to deal with it that way.
Did something happen to the earpiece, or is it just the wind and the proximity to
I
think it's a proximity to where Luther and Billy are.
Nothing in the movie has like had him like get hit from the side to enough. I mean, he was been in fights. He's been in two fights. He jumped on Stamp, and he did flip kick people, and like he's been thrown about. So
I think and going he had a mask on over the earpiece too.
that's what finally did it. It was the mask.
It was a mask. But no, I think it's the proximity because Luther and Billy are further away now, as they're following him. I think. Are they getting further away?
Yeah, so he's asked them to go get Naya, and he says he has his GPS, and because they tracked him when he was in the lab, because that's how they knew Naya was there, because they were tracking where Ethan was in the building. Mm-hmm. Do you think Ethan got the injection in his ankle, or do you think he's just carrying the GPS?
I think he's got the same sort of GPS that Naya does.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah.
That would have been my guess that he had the injection.
Well, like in, you know, that would be not the smart cross, thing. You know, spy genres, but in Casino Royale, that's what they did to Bond. They gave him a GPS.
Do you think his, like, does it last? Is it forever? Is it a forever tag?
Yeah, probably.
Or he just gets it sucked back out every time he's done with a
mission. Yeah, because they did the same thing in in Fallout, too. They had the GPS on them.
Couldn't he have said, hey, remember that thing in my ankle from 10 years ago?
That's probably what they were doing in Fallout, because they were following him all over the place.
That's true, they were.
It seems like it would be really easy for a bad guy to hack in and know where he's at if it was in there all the time.
Yeah, it seems like, it'd be like, oh, I always know where Ethan Hunt is.
Right.
Yeah. I like the idea of swallowing a pill.
I do too. But I guess it going into your, your stomach is probably not the best thing, because your stomach has a way of making things leave your body as opposed to sticking it in your body somewhere.
And the acidity.
It's a dry acidity. That's all. So it's okay.
I think that it would be a good idea because it would be temporary. If you just put something under your skin, how long until that technology is out of date? Probably not that long. No. Months.
Yeah.
It's basically like a technological tattoo. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have any tattoos, because I can never think of anything I want on my body that in 5 years I'm not going to go, God, why did I put that on my body?
Good choice.
Yeah. I think there's some listeners in our group that have that qualm the second they got it. I'm not going to say any names.
Well, that brings up the question of temporary tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a temporary tattoo that acts as a GPS signal?
Mm. That'd be kind of cool, actually. Cool. So it doesn't tattoo into you. It just like it's a sticker.
Then it would be secure.
Like one of those band-aids, the voice band-aids that was the GPS thing.
Yeah, because I think there's a risk if it's just like an object you've got in your pocket, or something you've got pinned to you, or a necklace, or in your watch, that you're going to lose those things. Especially the way that Ethan behaves.
Yeah, and the way he changes clothes on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we talked about the stuff that's coming out as we record this is basically earlier on, later in the week, it's how he twitched clothes with Stamp. That seems awkward.
It does seem awkward.
Because Stamp was, asleep. So we don't know, knocked out. So we don't know what happened. But yeah, it would be nice if he had like a Nicoderm like patch. I don't know. Like a Viridian patch from Star Trek.
Yeah.
The kind that Spock slapped on Kirk before he went to Rorapente. You know, that type of thing. Am I talking to anybody that knows anything about this?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Other than Chris?
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
So, I've gone outside your wheelhouse of nerd movies. I apologize.
I only know the new Star Trek movies. Yeah. Well, maybe he's missing a molar in the back, and he just like unplugs and replugs his GPS into there when he needs it.
You've seen his smile. There is no way he's missing any teeth. If anything, he has more than he needs.
They added a tooth for it.
Oh, yeah. That's why his teeth are all off one.
Yeah, because
the one in the middle is the one that tracks him.
His GPS tooth.
Well, you know, like the spy, some of the spies have that, what was it, in Captain America, the first one, the spies got the molar. The molar.
Oh, yeah. The cyanide.
Well, it's like a sweet molar. Molars in Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Swiss radio. Army. It's like a Swiss Army smile, is what it is. It's like he has like five fake teeth, and they all can be compartmentalized to whatever he wants. Like one has
modular.
Rope. Yeah, modular. Yeah. One has rope in it. One has a grappling hook, a very tiny grappling hook.
He has to pull out the tooth, and it's got little, you know, floss for the rope.
Yes.
That's his grappling hook.
Yes.
One has green gum and one has red gum.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep those. They're on two different sides of his mouth.
You don't want to mix those together.
That's dangerous. Oh, he was told specifically not to chew it in the first movie.
I would always bite there, use the wrong tooth if I had that. I know I would. And then I'd be like, oh, I need the grappling hook. Oh, I just bit the cyanide. Never mind, I'm dead.
Oh, no, I'm dead. Goodbye, cruel world.
I've chosen poorly.
We finally see Naya. Chris, is this crazy? I just looked it up. Naya's been gone from this movie for 20 minutes.
I know, it's crazy. It's just ridiculous. Well, I mean, it also goes along with them, you know, wasting like 10 hours, 11 hours, not looking for her.
But being gone for 20 minutes of a two-hour movie is nuts.
Yeah.
For the main female role, who is also the MacGuffin, who is also the, like, you know, she's kind of the reason why they're doing all this. Yeah. It's hilarious. They haven't shown the countdown on the watch. They haven't shown Naya. This is the first time we see her, and when we see her, she's ambling through the woods.
She's stumbling.
We've come a long way from this to where we are now with Mission Impossible franchise female leads. Mm-hmm.
Is there any explanation as to why she's out here?
No, 2 weeks ago, Ambrose said, let her out in downtown Sydney. And so he lets her, the henchman, Ambrose, leaves her in Sydney so she can infect as many people as possible. This is what she's done in the meantime.
She's walked off into the forest to not infect as many people.
So do you think she's already feeling the effects of the chimera and that's why she's stumbling, or is she just tired and dehydrated, or is she drunk? What is going
all
on?
All of the
why?
Above?
Because she's very wobbly.
Yeah.
I hope she's drunk. I hope she used some of that 22 hours and went to a bar and got a giant Foster's. And she's like 93 pounds. And she drank an entire Foster's and just like blasted out of her brain.
Drinking a whole case of it for a regular person.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm going to go walk into the woods. Sound like Robert Town. I'm going to go, hey, I'm Naya, and I'm walking in the woods.
That's taken from real life on Town's part.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm just going to talk about what I did while I was in Sydney.
I get the feeling that she's kind of in shock of what she's done to herself, that she's facing her own mortality.
Yeah, and we'll see in later minutes when we talk about it, she's done this on her own. She's walked away from people. Well, also, she has the flu. So I do think you have the flu. It is a flu influenza virus, so you do feel like crap. Until your pores explode and your eyeballs bust out of your head and bleed from every orifice. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's dealing with the flu right now.
And she's outside in Australia in jeans. She's just not dressed for the weather.
No, but she does have dehydrated. She has a small shirt on, so.
She has a child's shirt on.
She can stay cool.
Having that Foster's as well doesn't help.
It doesn't help. No.
So Luther's computer must be really good because he can track two people. If he's tracking Ethan, and he's supposed to be tracking Naya too, right?
I hope as long as they're in the same place. Like, when they were in the same building, that's very easy to track. Now that they're, like, 2 miles... They're basically 2 miles apart, mm-hmm. is what we find out. Because he yells, he yells, I have it in another minute because I talk about it later. He yells, something head... And I couldn't hear anything else, so I had to go find it. I'll talk about it in later minutes.
Okay.
Like where they are, like where she is.
I was just going to say, I listened to that over and over again, too, and all I could capture was bluff, I think, and it was hard to understand what he was saying.
Yeah, something about a bluff. I know this is for future minutes, but I know exactly where she is.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, she is on North Head Bluffs at the Fairfax Lookout.
Ah.
Which is a 4-hour walk from Center Sydney.
Oh, wow. Then she's probably just dehydrated.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I think there's an Arby's out there. That's why Lethal wants to go out there. So she's probably headed towards that as well.
If I took a 4-hour walk, I would probably be stumbling like that as well. Especially if I had
like going to Disney World.
Climb something. It's hot.
Everything she's around right now looks like the background of every The Incredible Hulk episode from the 80s. Scrub brush that's out in like California's hills. That's basically what it looks like.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I just said a shrubbery. Sorry.
Shrubbery!
Shrubbery! Bring shrubbery!
And the Ambrose, it looks like, you know, I have to go back and now look at this. I can't tell, is Tom Cruise's cousin driving the car or is he riding shotgun?
He's driving the car.
He's driving.
Because it's Australia. And, okay. And, you know, this is what one part where nepotism doesn't pay off for the Cruise family because doesn't end well
not,
for him.
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. He's still okay. Yeah, and he they try and what they basically do is they try and get close to him, and he sees an 18-wheeler way down the road. So he puts on the front brakes of his motorcycle, but also accelerates with his back wheels, and he's like peeling out while going forward. It's an interesting.
It's the Wile E. Coyote move, man.
It is the Wile E. Coyote move.
He's got an Acme motorcycle.
It's a burnout. It's called a burnout, and I actually was like looking up trying to find the exact description of it, and there's actually like a WikiHow description on how to do a burnout. Yeah, and he actually is doing a really good job according to WikiHow.
I would think that the Fast and the Furious guys would know all about these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost like a controlled skid. You're like trying to like, because, yeah, you're moving your back tire. Your back tire is still going back and forth because it actually wants to go forward, but your front tire's brakes are keeping you from going as fast.
It looks like when they cut to the shot of him, the side angle of him doing it, and you see all the smoke, it looks like a smoke light cycle. You know, like he's built this light cycle wall from smoke. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny how in movies, smoke is treated like acid?
Yeah.
Always. Smoke is always, we've all been in smoke.
Yeah.
To the point you're like, I've been in fog. You just slow down. Just slow down.
Rubber, man.
It always in every movie, like if you puff smoke in somebody's face, they're like, oh, I can't. You know, I dropped my gun. You know, it's always something horrible.
Well, they can't lose him.
They can't lose him. They can. There's like three other people attacking him.
That's true.
What if he just stopped? What are the ramifications would be if you're like, oh no, Ambrose, I've lost him. And they just drove off to the side of the road and just kind of stopped.
I imagine Ambrose would probably kill them.
What if he didn't know? Well, because they know Ambrose is around and they just let Ambrose get in front of them. And they're like, oh, we're right behind you, boss. Here we come.
They could.
I just assume they're lazy. That's all.
Yeah, probably. They don't get paid enough.
Lazy henchmen.
They've just lost that 30 million, you know, pound deal. So, I mean, come on there.
Oh, they're mad.
They're mad.
Well, they weren't getting 30 million pounds. Maybe Tom Cruise's cousin was getting 30 million.
Yeah, maybe.
Some of that. But none of the Ambrose are getting, they're getting scale.
Yeah.
They're not getting.
They get an hourly wage.
This minute ends with the car going into this fog bank, which really isn't that big, let's be honest. But when they cut to it right before the minute ends, it's like they're in London.
Yeah.
And it's like enveloped the entire car. This amount of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out. This is a nice burgundy car. I can't see what kind of car it is. It's not the Toyota Corolla that I joked about at the beginning of the episode. It's another kind. And I think we'll see it in the next minute what kind of car it is. Not that it matters much for the next minute. It won't be there very long.
Mm-hmm. So as far as like technically looking at this, and looking at the road, you can see multiple black marks. And I wonder how many times they had to do this stunt. Because you can see right behind his tire a new black mark happening on the road. And then there's some points when you look behind him and you can see around second 39. And you can see other black marks already on the road.
Oh, exactly the same kind too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure they had to. I mean, I assume the stunt coordinator wanted to do this a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see them all. It's really bad how many there are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's like one there, one to the left, one to the right. They're all within like a foot of each other, though. So they're all hitting the mark. Yeah, that's lazy. I probably wouldn't have put that shot in, but they want to show the motorcycle doing that. But it's not.
Right.
Jesus, my kid. Man, It's like I've taught it. Wait, we lost Julia.
Yeah, she said she had a burnout. She's coming right back.
Okay. But yeah, it's funny how they were able to put this shot in without saying, you know what, we don't need it. They're not actually burning rubber at that point.
Yeah.
I'll say this all week. This movie has a lot of filler at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, this whole scene is filler, but from now on, there are sections of this that are filler. And this is where I wonder if the, editor did this, or if this was John. Do you think this was the editor trying to build a movie back up to a normal time since there was so much cut out of it? Or do you think John Woo said, no, these are scenes I like? This feels more like an editor's choice and not John Woo's
choice. I think it's probably a little bit of both, because I know that they brought in another editor to supervise the ending because they weren't happy with things. So,
So they were putting in things maybe they weren't the best shots.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they
this
were,
is literally the best shot we have for this, but it helps with the...
They were trying to build up the pacing of the action scene, I think, because I think... because there was so much missing at the end that they had to, you know, build it back up, like you were saying.
Yeah, we'll get to that in some other minutes. There's at least two more things that happen in this chase that I think were supposed to be big action points that are to fizzle out. And I don't know if they didn't get coverage that day. I don't know if they didn't shoot it. I don't know if it didn't look good. But we'll talk about that when we get to them. So.
Yeah, they brought in Stuart Baird to clean up the film to make it, you know, presentable. Because apparently it wasn't for a while, as we all know.
Because I said, at the end of this, we see the helicopter flying off to go get Naya, and the guys go into the smoke, and that's basically the end of this minute. Does everyone want to go to Tech of the App?
Yes, please. Yes.
All right. All right, well, to go to Tech of the App, we're all going to have to burn rubber. Peel out, as it were. What'd you call it? Is it peeling?
It's
what'd
a burnout.
Burnout.
It's... You guys are a bunch of burnouts, so I'm going to need you to hit the brakes, and we'll swerve on into the Tech of the App. Here we go.
I can't see through the smoke.
I've gone blind. It's poison.
Oh, so much smoke. All right, we're here in the Tech of the App. The smoke is clearing a little bit. Whew. Whew. Tabitha, would you like to go first and tell us what your Tech of the App is going to be?
Yes, I'm going to do the technique of the Epnique, now that that's a thing, with the burnout, because he does a really good job, and it seems like it's working. The Ambros are getting scared because they can't see.
I can't tell how much he did because I know it's supposed to be him on the bike the whole time. There's not one shot that proves to me, though, that he's the one doing the burnout, because when he is burning out, I can't see the front of his motorcycle, and I'm wondering if it's on a rig. Yeah, and he's just literally peeling out on something.
As you watch the rest of the minutes this week, you'll notice there's a lot that looks like it's on a rig, and when it does look like it's a wide shot, his head seems to be down all the time, or arm covering his face.
He's doing like the stunt man of shame.
It's like it was like he's obviously ashamed of his work on this film at this point, because he wanted to make it up after all of these films since then.
Yeah, it's so weird that they would put another guy on there, but I guess this was one of those things where didn't have time to train because they were so far behind.
Yeah, because he was still on Eyes Wide Shut for so long.
And he was paying, I know at this point, he was paying all the overages out of his own pocket because he owned so much of the movie.
Yeah.
He paid for all the extra time to shoot this.
Yeah.
So any of this extra stuff, which is basically what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make it look real, though. I mean, they show him grabbing the clutch and then the brake and then gassing it. So they make it look real. But yeah, I see where it goes down in the front.
It's just one scene with him from the side. And I was like,
right.
The fact that I can't see the front makes me go... Because nowadays, I mean, like when the Arc de Triomphe thing where he rode around that in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously him.
It's obviously him. You're like, yeah, that's him on a motorcycle. And there's nothing in front of him. So right. I got it. So, yeah, I think at this time we still didn't have – he wasn't there yet. He's almost there. He's so close to being that Ethan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a good Tech of the App.
It is good.
Because it's still – somebody did it, and it's a good trick.
Yep.
What about you, Chris?
I'm going to go with the faulty headpiece.
Faulty headpiece. This is the first time we've had a failed head headpiece in one of these movies.
Yeah, you never get that. It's always like, oh, you know, I'm just, it's fine. No big deal. Yeah.
Like they get jammed.
Yeah.
We don't get that it's broken.
Yeah. And beyond that, it was either that or it was going to be all the placement of the cameras and the weird angles, like, you know, the angles of the tire and the cars. And the cameras are hanging out of things a lot in this sequence.
Yeah, it feels like they got their money's worth on little rigs for all the camera stuff. And this sucks because at this time, digital cameras still weren't a good thing.
No, you couldn't just stick a GoPro like inside.
Yeah, like this is a big ass camera. Yeah. Like with board and wood and stuff.
Exactly. And having shot film on car chases and motorcycle chases, I know that it's not easy to do that. So that was good.
Well, right. Because you have to shoot everything without the rig first because you need the coverage of the car before you scratch it.
Yep, exactly.
And then the rest of it's like trying to like get the thing
or
on.
Or you've got a cameraman hanging out the window or out the trunk or something just to make sure you get the shot. So that was my other, those are my two choices.
Okay. Okay. Julia, what about you?
I'm going to go with an anti-tech of the app. Naya's...
What the hell's this?
Naya's Wandering. I think of it as analog. She's just wandering out there in the wilderness. This minute in particular in this movie is very vehicle heavy. And then you've got Naya, who's just wandering out in the wilderness.
It's her analog jog.
Yeah.
She didn't even have a cell phone or anything, man.
Someone write that down. That's the name of the episode.
Analog jog.
Analog jog. Right. So, it's oh, no cell phone. God. You know how much of this movie would be?
It'd be a 15-minute movie with a cell phone involved.
One cell phone. If Naya had a cell phone. Or she could walk up to somebody. She's a cute girl. She could say, hey, can I borrow your cell phone?
Yep.
Yes, here. You know, they,
here you go, tiny-shirted lady.
You need to buy a new shirt, right? My tech of the ep is going to be the helicopter nubbin that we get to see from the side. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, the helicopter nubbin.
In its white glory on that black helicopter. We're going to see it as they veer left and go towards Sydney to pick up Naya. Mine's pretty easy. You know what? Mine's always going to be a helicopter nubbin. I think I've got nubbin fever, so that's where I am with this podcast at this point. If it's the nubbins in it, I'm doing it because I'm sick of the motorcycles. Well, until the end of this week. Then I love the motorcycles again, and then I hate them again. It's Monday, so we plug on Mondays. Tell me some things that you'd like to talk about. It doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be anything you want to talk about. It can also be a podcast. Do whatever you want. But I'll start with Julia first.
Well, I'm definitely going to talk up my podcast because I have been working so hard on it. I want everybody to listen to it. And you can find that at madmaxminute.com.
Hell yeah. It's a great podcast. We love it.
Thank you.
Chris and I will be on in December at some point or something like that. Feels like.
Sometime I think in the fall.
We're in like 6 months from now. So that'll be good. What about you, Tabitha?
Usually I think about this ahead of time. I didn't think about it ahead today. So I will plug my husband Jonathan's podcast, UHF 60 Second. That's UHF 62ND, where they talk about Weird Al's movie UHF 62 Seconds at a Time. So they're actually have a goal of getting the first episode dropping by the end of July. So that'll be coming out soon. And UHF62nd.com and all the social medias. You can follow them there.
Awesome. Well, until tomorrow, you guys know where to find us. MinuteImpossible.com, at MinuteImpossible on Instagram. No, on Twitter. And Instagram at MinuteImpossible. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Tabitha.
And I've been Julia.
This minute will self-destruct. I'm peeling out. I'm burning out. Burning over.
I can't see.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible.
Here you go. You're only wearing children's clothes. Please, use my phone for that.
Maybe that's why movies just aren't the same as they used to be, because everybody has cell phones now.
Sorry, can you guys hear that my wife is cooking in there?
I heard a quick sizzling.
I can hear something.
What are you cooking?
I'm so sorry.
Leave her alone.
She's like, I'm so sorry.
The hell are you making? Is it a wok?
It's okay. I'm not talking right now. Well, I'm about to. It's okay. I'll just do it real fast.
Yep.
Okay.
I still got to put in the other one. Is that okay?
Can you wait 3 seconds?